being, and you have a Bible with you, either in paper form or on an app, on a phone or a tablet, you might want to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. And Lubna's now going to come and read to us. She's going to read from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses.
Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Lubna. Now, last week, in response to it being the first Sunday in Advent, I developed the theme of waiting on the Lord to come to us. But as I mentioned last week, in the headlong rush to Christmas that seems to override the promotion of Advent, although I'm going to advocate the waiting process, it's not going to be a hill that I'm going to die on. As I spent time this week reflecting on Advent and the journey to Jerusalem, the three journeys of the Magi, the shepherds, and Mary and Joseph really struck me with a real intensity. I was drawn to their stories, and I realized in each case they had to travel. In each case, they had that anticipation that we hold in Advent, that anticipation that draws them to the place where Jesus is born. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at those three stories. The story of the Magi, of Mary and Joseph who come from the north, the Magi who come from the east, and the shepherds who come from the nearby fields, all traveling different directions, but all having their journeys initiated by God. In each case, it led to an encounter with Jesus. Now, in each in their own ways, these journeys of faith, these are journeys of faith. But the trouble is, when today we talk about journey, it has a cliche feel to it. If you watch any reality television, or you read a newspaper, or you read online articles, you can't help but come across the winners of reality television speaking about their journey. They use the term to describe a journey of self-discovery, of self-development. And in this respect, the journey of the Magi is certainly a journey of discovery. They come setting out probably months and months before Jesus was ever born. Scholars, they arrive at the place where the Christ child is, probably as much as 2 years after setting out. And it raises a question for me about our journey of faith. What sustains the Magi through their journey? What keeps them going, keeps them traveling towards this desire to meet with and encounter the King of the Jews? Or as we know, finding the God who comes to us in Jesus. What kept the Magi going when, through all their good intentions, they travel down some blind alleys, encounter some unhelpful people who masquerade as being helpful? Well, maybe the answer lies in who they are and the task that they undertake for themselves. The term Magi can be translated as magios or magician, and it's a term that's usually associated with a priestly group in Persia. Prophets and teachers, probably followers of Zoroaster, a Persian teacher and prophet who lived between 630 and 550 BC. They're almost certainly involved in astrology, demiology, and magic, and integrate these into their spiritual lives. They're certainly leading figures in the royal court, bringing wisdom to the king of Persia. And it seems that God uses all of this to start their journey, all of their experience of the spiritual world to draw them into a journey of discovery, a journey of discovering himself. And it's interesting how this journey unfolds. It begins with bits and pieces that they know or they think they know. They know that there is a new king of the Jews due to be born. There is an expectation throughout the whole of the Eastern Mediterranean that in Israel, a king would come from the historic line of David. The Roman historian Suetonius wrote about the present belief that the king would come to Judah and would seize the power of the nation and with it the whole world. And a few weeks ago, we looked at Ezekiel 34 at the festival of Christ the King, and we saw how God said he would come, and he would come to be his people's king. And this, coupled with an astrological event, beginning with, and scholars debate this, whether it's the aligning of a planet, the passing of a comet, or an angelic revelation, whatever, there is a sign in the heavens. And the Magi put two and two together, and it sparks their interest. It sparks their interest to set out on a journey to find the one who they know as the King of the Jews. It causes them to journey towards God, a journey that is a journey of faith. It asks questions for me, and it makes me wonder, what sparks our interest now? What is it that sparks our interest and keeps us seeking after God, keeps us on that journey of faith? But as these travelers come from the east, there's something else. There's a foundation upon which they can draw. A foundation that they might not have acknowledged at this stage, but nevertheless feeds into their thoughts. And that is at some point in their lives, they're likely to have encountered the Old Testament stories. This probably comes from a group of people whose ancestors had been carried into Babylon under the Assyrians and the Babylonians. But rather than come home with the return from exile under Ezra and Nehemiah, they stayed behind. They stayed and they made a life for themselves in the new land. And some scholars believe they created significant centers of Jewish learning in the midst of what we now know as Persia, or now know as Iran and Iraq. And it's likely that this group of Israelites effectively were left behind, kept the faith, and they sought to influence those around them. And that influences, causes, a sparks an interest in the journey to find the Christ child. It sparks an interest in the Magi to begin their journey. It leaves me wondering sometimes whether we underestimate the significance of staying behind, which is a strange thing to say when I'm speaking about a journey today. But I'm not sure about you, but whenever we have missionaries come to speak, I'm enthralled by their experience, by what they encounter as they go far away and see God at work in difficult situations. They go overseas and they take God's love and share it. I'm intrigued by their stories, but I know actually for me, going overseas is not something for me. And every time I hear these preachers, the story, every time I hear this, I think of the story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water. And every time I hear preachers speak on that story, I want to say, yes, but what about the other disciples in the boat? What about those who were faithful on the ongoing journey across the lake, who were taking the boat to where, following Jesus' command? Here, the interest of the Magi is started by encountering those that had stayed behind. It causes me to wonder, who is it who has influenced us, caused us to either start that journey of faith or to continue it along the way? Whether we stay or go, the journey of faith is always one towards God. It's always a fragmented journey. It often begins with bits and pieces of information that sparks our interest, and it begins often with the influence of others. But whilst it's a journey of initial encounter with Jesus, and hearing his call and feeling compelled to follow, the journey is often like a large jigsaw, bits and pieces that we understand, bits and pieces that we don't understand, bits and pieces that as we develop our faith, as we travel with God, the gaps are filled. And along that way, we have to ask questions, and those questions sometimes lead us into difficult situations. And if there's one area where the Magi run into a difficult situation, it is when they visit Herod. And the more I reflect on the story of the Magi's conversation with Herod, the more I'm struck by the honesty of their questions. Because as the Magi come, they're looking for the King of the Jews. They're looking, surely, in the place where you'd expect to find a king, in the palace. And it's useful. But whilst the palace might not have been the right place for them at that time, they discover that they are close by, that the collective knowledge that there is in the palace points them in the right direction. But in asking the questions, in saying to Herod, we have come to find the King of the Jews, we read that King Herod and all Jerusalem with him were disturbed. This disruption leads to some questions. I wonder how many times we have been unsettled in our journey of faith by honest questions, those that have touched us at the deepest part of our faith and caused us to be unsettled. And likewise, when of the times when we've asked questions, difficult questions about how God works and how we encounter Jesus, how we walk with him through difficult times, how often have those simple questions, those honest questions, unsettled others? And yet in the economy of God, this unsettling is good for us. The unsettling calls us to move forward in a journey of faith. The medieval theologian Anselm describes it as faith-seeking understanding. For whilst we might be fearful of the questions that are asked of us and the questions we would ask, whilst they might unsettle us, with the benefit of, they call us to explore deeper with God. And God gives us a mind with which to explore him with. And whilst in the benefit of hindsight, we can see how Herod reacted to being troubled by the vision of the Magi wasn't good. And because of the bloodshed that followed Herod being unsettled, we might consider the Magi's visit somewhat of a mistake. It was an honest one. It was one born out of the seeking of God, the seeking of where God, where they would encounter God, and visiting the place in Jerusalem, and their unsettling questions helped lead them to the next stage. It helped take them forward from where they were. Now, of course, the journey of faith is not one of just rational questions and answers, not simply sparked by our own interest. The journey of faith is one of revelation, the revelation of God. Along the way, there are times when we need God to lead us to the next stage. That moment where he points us in the right direction. That moment where we hear that sense of this is the way, walk in it, from Isaiah 30. And we see that in the Magi's final approach to Jesus, having moved from the stable into the house, finding Jesus in Bethlehem is not going to be an easy task. But the very fact that they have a guiding star that leads them to the very house is God's revelation. It is that aha moment that they see God at work leading them to the place where they will find him. And it leaves me wondering, there have been times when we've been stuck in our faith and we've needed that revelation, that prompting, that spiritual aha moment. And if we're currently stuck in that position, whether actually we might need to be alert for that revelation, looking for it, listening for it. I wonder if we're looking for that revelation of God. Of course, the culmination of the journey of faith will be when we receive our inheritance, when we arrive at the throne of God, and when we bow before him in worship. For the Magi, it's slightly different. For the Magi, their culmination comes when they meet Jesus in the flesh, in the here and now. And the word Matthew uses to describe their worship is a word that describes not just paying tribute, but the worship of a deity. Matthew is very specific here. He wants to see that when the Magi bow before the child and worship him, they are not coming to an intermediary, someone who will take them to God. They're coming to someone there's a belief that he is God. He is King of Kings. Matthew makes the point that Jesus is more than simply an earthly king of an earthly people group. He is God amongst us. And as part of that worship, the Magi pay tribute. They bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, and the symbolism of this gift has been brought out in many sermons in the past, the significance of their gifts. But there's something else here, because there's something in this act of worship that resonates with the paying tributes of kings of past who have brought tributes to Israel and their God. Passages like Psalm 72 and Isaiah 60 and Zephaniah 3, where nations pay tribute to Israel and their God. It leaves me to wonder what our tribute will be as we come and we encounter God at the end of our journey of faith. When we bow before him and worship, when the books are opened and questions are asked, will our tribute be one that is of value? Will our tribute of our lifestyle, our commitment on the journey of faith, be one that it has value? Paul describes it as asked the question whether it will be of gold, silver, and special precious stones, or wood, stay in stubble, and it leaves a question for us about the tribute that we bring to God as part of our journey of faith, a part of our lifestyle as we follow Christ. The journey of the Magi was a long-term commitment. It was a long journey that led them to Jesus. It was a journey of faith, of setting out, of faith seeking understanding, of faith seeking after God. It is a journey that begins with the sparking of their interest. It involves following a trail of bits and pieces of knowledge which they link together and gradually are led to the place where Jesus can be found. It's a journey that involves a divine intervention at one point, or more than one point. It is about the self-revelation of God, and ultimately it culminates in the worship at the feet of Jesus. And so I'm left wondering, how is our journey of faith this morning? What is sparking our interest and moving us on in that journey? And if we're in the doldrums, needing a fresh spark to encourage to move on, are we looking for that revelation of God, that self-revelation that will move us to the next place? Are we busy asking those unsettling questions about God and seeking to go more deeply with him? I wonder. I wonder if our journey has not started yet, whether it is in the process of starting. And if it is, has started and been going for many years, how is it continuing along the way? The journey of faith always begins with God and ultimately concludes with God. And so I wonder, in our journey to our eternal reward, to the time and place when we come before the Lord, when we face him and in eternal judgment and eternal reward, how will our tribute, ourselves, be accepted before God? I wonder if we have the courage and the ability to follow the example of the Magi, to set out in faith, knowing only bits and pieces, but to follow a journey that leads to questions that disturb and a self-revelation of God, and ultimately brings us to the worship of Jesus. I wonder. Amen.